Amen. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 5 just one more time, dealing with the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, reading from verse 14. And we've come to our sixth aspect of the fruit of the Spirit. As we've said from the beginning, fruit, the word fruit is singular. There is only one fruit, but it's in nine distinct different manifestations. But these fruit can't be separated from each other. You don't get one person who says, well, I manifest fruit, and someone else who says, well, I manifest meekness. All these fruit grow together. You can't divide them, you can't separate them. One person brings them forth, and if the Holy Spirit is in you, he will manifest these fruit of the Holy Spirit. Let's read Galatians chapter 5, verse 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, or one scripture, or one line, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, or the works of the flesh are that which comes out of the flesh, is revealed, or made very open, or made very explicit. Which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. In other words, there's no end to them. The manifestations of the flesh, you can't number them. They are so many that they're beyond number. He just said, and everything else that's like these, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. They will not make heaven. God will not accept them. They'll be lost eternally. Those that live with all these manifestations of the flesh being let loose in their life are going to hell. There's no question mark over that. The Bible is very clear. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lusts. If ye live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. In other words, if you're saying you're a Christian, live like a Christian. If you say the Holy Spirit's in you, don't live according to the flesh. In other words, if you do that, you're a hypocrite, you're a liar, you're a counterfeit, you're not real. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Then to chapter 6, verse 9. And it says there, and let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Father, we just pray again. Lord God, just help us, teach us. Lord God, show us, reveal to us what goodness means. We want goodness to grow as a fruit in our life. We want it to be made manifest. We want the Holy Spirit of God to have such a working in our hearts that goodness will be manifest for every eye to see. Father, I pray, even in this church, my God, we want real goodness. Lord God, a manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit to be evident in this church and each one of our lives. My God, we want goodness to break out in our workplace, our homes, our families. Lord God, everywhere we go, we want goodness to be so manifest. Yes. Lord God, that the unbelievers, sinners, are going to magnify our Heavenly Father in heaven. Lord God, will you do a work in our lives? We don't want to be hearers only, yes, but we want to be doers of the word. Yes. Lord God, we don't want to be those that just say that we've received the grace of God, and yet the grace of God hasn't changed us. and brought forth works. Lord God, if your grace is on our life, Lord God, then that same grace that forgave us and brought us to Christ will make us fruitful in doing that which is good in your sight. Just help us tonight.
Yes,
in Jesus' name.
Thank you.
Amen. We've already dealt with five of these fruit of the Spirit. You'll remember we began with love. Now love, you'll remember as we dealt with it that first night, it's not sentimental love. Love isn't a gushy thing. Love is going to cost you something. Love is loving those who are not lovely. We dealt with joy, and we saw that it wasn't circumstantial happiness, but the joy of the Lord is a rejoicing in Christ, no matter what the circumstances were. We dealt with peace, that no matter what your circumstances were, you can have a peace to guard your mind, where there's many things that cause anxieties and fears, concerns. The peace of the Holy Spirit growing in your life will guard your mind and keep you from all concern. We dealt then with long suffering. You'll remember that what is long suffering? It is the Holy Spirit's response in you to people, and remember it dealt with people, to people doing wrong things to you. The long suffering is you bear with them. You just keep on going. You do what is right. Then last week we dealt with goodness. Gentleness. And what did we say about gentleness? It's an inward state of heart. And the best way that we define it was it's a sweetness of heart. Now notice here that these three go together. Long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness go together. All three of them are actions towards people around us. They're not God word. They're people word. Okay? And that's what we're going to find tonight again, is goodness. But last week it was the state of heart. But really what we could say is the gentleness we dealt with last week. Today, we're going to deal in goodness. It's gentleness manifest through the life. Gentleness is an inward state of heart. It's the condition of the inward man. Whereas goodness is what is displayed outwardly. Now, just read again that chapter 6 and verse 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing. That really defines what we're dealing with. We're dealing tonight with goodness, the sixth manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit. What does goodness mean? What is it? Now, in the New Testament, this word goodness, and I won't try to pronounce the Greek for you. You can read it for yourself. This word is only mentioned 4 times in the New Testament, but it is one of the fruit of the Spirit, and God wants us to understand what it is. But the word taken from it, goodness and good is used 100 times, and it's basically the same word in our New Testament. So we've got enough ammunition there to come to an understanding of what these words mean. What good means is basically good and God in our English language come from the same root. Our English word, where we get the word God, is the same root word where we get the word good. In other words, what we could say here in the English, we could say that goodness is God-likeness. To be good, or to have goodness grow in your life, is to act like God, or to have the actions of God in your life. Now, we could say a lot tonight about the goodness of God, couldn't we? Has the Lord been good to you?
Yes.
He sure has. You know, we sing about that. The goodness of our God. And you know, the goodness of God is not just a state of heart. He sent his son to die in Calvary. He's been good to me. And you know, he says if he didn't hold back his only begotten son, but he gave him to die for you, what good thing will he hold back from you? In other words, Christ dying in your place for your sins is the guarantee and assurance that he'll give you all good things. That's the heart of God. Do you know, God doesn't just say, well, I've got a heart of love towards you. He is goodness embodied. We see goodness manifest in him. And how do we see it? He gave his son. He reached out to you in mercy. He brought you out of darkness. He done a work. He radically changed your life. He changed you. You can look to a day or a time or a night or a certain situation where Christ has radically changed you. And you know, we'll spend all of eternity rejoicing for his goodness to us. What do we mean when we thank him for his goodness? His actions towards us. Not just the state of his heart. Well, he loves you. But his goodness is that he's done something for you. That's the goodness of God. And when goodness is in us, it's the actions of God through us. It's not just God being good to us, but it's us being good to the world or those around us. It's the goodness of God flowing through us, or it's being God-like, or it's being so affected by the Spirit of God that we are moved to action. You can't be a Christian and be passive. You can't be a Christian and be silent. You can't be a Christian and not do something with it. You'll either blow up or I don't know what'll happen to you. But if you're a Christian, you will have to do something with that life. It's going to break forth. Now, notice what it says here in chapter 6, because I believe this is one of the best definitions for us to understand goodness. It says in chapter 6, verse 9, let us not be weary in well-doing, or in doing that which is good. Don't be weary. Isn't it possible that we grow weary or tired, or we think, do you know, you're good to someone. You say, every time I walk in, a smile, or say something nice, or I try to help them, and they're rude, they're ignorant, they're arrogant, they cut me off. Do you know, what do you feel like doing? You feel like stopping being good. Isn't that it? That's a temptation. And Paul deals with it here. Let us, speaking to Christians, let us not be weary. Don't faint. Don't grow tired of well-doing, of doing what is right. In other words, he's not speaking of an attitude of heart here. He's speaking about actions of you doing what is right. And he says, don't get tired of doing what's right. Because you know what? When it's not received, or it's mocked, or it's rejected, we want to withhold it, don't we? We'll say, I'm not going to do that for them again. I'm not going to try and help them again. Well, you're falling short of the fruit of the Spirit. Because you know what? That's our natural mind, isn't it? That's our natural things. Well, if you're going to despise it, I'll just keep it. I won't waste it on you anymore. But the gospel says, wasn't God good to you? And how many times have you negated it or ignored it or not acknowledged it? Well, there's a bountifulness in the heart of God, isn't there? There's no end to his good deeds towards you and me. But Paul goes further than just saying, don't grow tired or weary or don't faint in doing what is right. He says, for in due season we shall reap if we don't faint. So here's the reward. If you don't faint and you keep on doing, keep on doing what's right. Keep on doing. Doesn't matter if you're tempted not to do good anymore. Doesn't matter if the pressure's there to say, what's the point? Or nothing has come from it. Or I keep doing what's right, but there's no results. Don't you stop. Just you keep on going. See the fruit of the Holy Spirit working in your life. You say, I'm going to keep on doing it, no matter what the response is. It says, for in due season you will reap. Before these verses, Paul talks about sowing and reaping, not talking about money. He says, you're either going to sow to the flesh or sow to the Spirit. And here he's talking about it, that it's concerning doing good or doing good deeds. Now that's the reality of it. And he says, if you don't faint, if you keep on doing what is right, you will reap a harvest from that. Something is going to come back to you. You cannot be good. You cannot walk in goodness and not receive something back. But he goes further, as we have therefore opportunity. So he's talking about doing good as you have opportunity, not trying to create good works, not trying to go looking to do something good. He says, just as the opportunity is talking about the normal Christian life, at work, in the family, in the church, just as opportunity comes about, as the situation arises, don't go looking for something extraordinary. God is not looking for you to impress him. He says, just be a Christian in the normal things of life. With the people that I put around you. Oh, I know I put some characters in around you. But just be good with them. Don't go looking to do something dramatic the other side of the world. If you can't be a Christian in your home or your workplace, why would you want to go to the other side of the world? Yeah. There's no reason. So he says, as therefore the opportunity arises. And he says, let us do good unto all men. Not just Christians. Not just the righteous. Not just the good. Do good unto all men, especially unto them of the household of faith. So he does speak about those in the world and those in the church, especially the Christian, especially the born-again believer, especially those who love Christ. You're to do good to Christians, especially, primarily. They're to take priority, but you are to do good to sinners as well. Now, what does this word goodness really mean? It means active benevolence. What's benevolence? Doing something good for someone, isn't it? Well, this is active benevolence, or well-doing. It's actually an attitude or a fruit or a character within the heart of open-handedness. It's quick to be generous. Notice that. It's a quick action to be generous. It's not something you have to fight with yourself. If the Holy Spirit's in you, you want to be generous. And we're not just talking about money here. It's as much time. Just giving someone time is as much generosity as it is. Giving someone the time of day. Isn't that generosity? Yes, that's generosity. It is generosity in action. It is a largeness of heart. It's a generosity of heart. It's a heart of service or a bountiful heart. So the picture we see in goodness is a heart overflowing. It's a heart that has something to give. You know, a bountiful person or a good person is someone who has a large heart who says, I'm going to bust if I don't bless you. If I don't do something good, either for a sinner or for a Christian, I just can't sit here and do nothing. I've got to do something. I've got to do something. I've got to bless the saints. I've got to encourage someone. I just want to do something. So it's this largeness of heart that's going to bust if it doesn't have some outlet. That is a man filled with goodness. Now, what's the opposite of that? Let me tell you the opposite of a man or woman and the opposite of goodness. Selfishness. Do you notice that goodness is all about others, isn't it? Goodness is focused on others. But you know, the opposite of that is selfishness. Me, my, what about my problems? What about me? Well, you're lacking goodness. You're not walking in goodness because you're actually looking for people to do something for you. But goodness is, forget about me. I want to serve you. I want to do something for you. Also, stinginess is a contradiction of goodness. What's stinginess? Smallness of heart, tightness of hand, narrowness of vision. That's what stinginess is. You know, a stingy person, we're coming up to Christmas, they always show that movie. What's the greatest movie to show? Scrooge. To put old Scrooge on there, and someone who they're not going to do anything for anyone, they go about grumpy. Well, he's a Scrooge. Never done anything for anyone. Isn't that a Scrooge? Never helped anyone. Their pockets are stapled closed. There's no generosity of heart. They don't care about others. It's only themselves. Well, that's stinginess. Well, I'm going to tell you, and Scrooge is the embodiment of everything that contradicts goodness. Goodness is another contradiction to that. But also laziness. I can't be bothered. Why should I? Well, tomorrow, next year. That laziness contradicts goodness, because goodness is action. Goodness is doing something. It's good, doing good deeds. It's the work of God through us. But we see that laziness or slothfulness is a contradiction. You ever seen a sloth? Once in South America, I seen a sloth for the first time. That strange creature, if you haven't seen it, you need to. And I watched it in a tree. I stood there 15, 20 minutes, and it didn't even half raise its hand. Do you know what it says in Proverbs about a slothful man, or a lazy man? It says that he can't even be bothered to take his hand out of his pocket to scratch his head. That's what a slothful man is. But if you ever see a slothful animal, or that animal called the sloth, it moves its hand literally like this. You'll barely see its hand move. And then that's it for 30 minutes. And then it might move its hand on up a little bit. And as I watch this, all the proverbs about the slothful man was coming to my mind. Well, I want to tell you, a slothful man is a lazy man. Is a man who's never going to do anything for anyone else. It's always tomorrow or next year or somebody else. Let somebody else do it. But saints, we cannot have that in the church. We cannot be a stingy church or a selfish church or a lazy church. And another word for that is waster. What is a waster? Someone who wastes things. They have time, they have strength, they've got possessions, they've got abilities. What do? They waste it all. They waste it all. They waste it on themselves, they keep it. Can I tell you, anything that you keep, you will lose. Mm. Anything that you try to hold on to, you'll lose. So you better give everything you have, the best of what you have, you better get rid of it. And by that I mean, whatever talent you have, you better use it. Whatever bit of ability you have, you better use it. Whatever comes to your heart, you better do it. Because, you know what, if you don't use it, it'll be taken from you. Him that has, it'll be taken off him. And him who uses things faithfully, he'll gain more. That's how the kingdom of God operates. If you want to keep your stingy little attitude, you'll become narrower, you'll have less, you'll lose what you have. Whatever you hold on to, you'll lose. But whatever you open up and say, Lord, I just want to have such a large heart, a free heart. I want everything that you give me. You give me time. I want to use that time. I want to give it to others. You give me money. I want to use that for others. You give me a house. I want it to be used for others. All of this, it's a generosity of heart. Now, the Bible does talk about certain men and women being good. Now, we know that the Bible, outside of Jesus, it says none is good. No man outside of Christ. Unless you have an experience of Christ, you're not good. You're stingy, you're lazy, you're narrow, you're all of those things. You're a waster. But you know, the Bible talks about those who have met Christ, the born again experience. Christ has made them good. Remember Paul in Romans 7, and he's talking about that wrestling between flesh and spirit. And he said, there's no good thing in me, but he qualifies it. He said, now hold on, in my flesh there's no good thing. So see the flesh, it is not good. No goodness can come out of it. But see that spirit, if it's been born again, there is goodness in it. There's the fruit of the spirit in it. Now notice some of the men, the good men and good women of the New Testament. In Luke 23:50, we read about, and behold, there was a man named Joseph. This is Joseph of Arimathea. He was a counselor in the community. And he was a good man. Notice that he was a good man and a just man. And if you read about this man, he was an outstanding man in his character. He was a great man in his character. But the Bible notes that he was a good man. Now, if this is correct, the definition we're given, what does it mean? It means a man who's going to do good things. He's going to do something good with what he has. Now, the Bible says that he was a disciple of Christ or a follower of Christ. And we know that when Christ was crucified and finally died on the cross, it was Joseph of Arimathea who went in and asked for the body of Jesus. And you know what? He pleaded with them. This was a good work. Now, what's just happened to Christ? He's just been crucified. Where's all the disciples that ran for their lives? But what's Joseph doing? He walks straight into the palace and he says, I want his body. Do you know what he's doing? He's doing a good deed. Here's goodness. And it says that he took the body of Christ and he put it in his own tomb. This was a tomb that was cut out of stone for himself. In other words, what was meant for him? That tomb was for his death. That tomb was for him at the end of his life. He probably worked and saved up and he planned and he got the measurements right and said, this is where my body's going to lay. But you know what he done? In being a follower of Christ, he took that tomb and he says, Christ is going to lie there. Well, do you know what? In giving it away, he got it, didn't he? Because Christ was risen from the dead. So he could say, well, I can use that tomb now. What a place to have your remains laid up. The very place where Christ, he must have said, boy, what a promise of the resurrection. Just as he rose up from the dead, I'm going to rise up as well. But you know what Joseph was? He was a good man. We never read of him preaching a sermon. We never read of him feeding the thousands. But we read of him taking what was his and giving it to Christ. Willingly, desiring. He didn't fear for his own life. He only desired to do what was right. Acts 9:36, and it says, now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. Now notice this young lady, beautiful names, Tabitha, Dorcas. And it says concerning her that she was full of good works. This young lady was full of good works. What about us? Do you realize the Bible talks about us being filled with good works? Doing good works. That's not a dirty word in today's church. To do what is good. To be into works. There's something wrong with that. I'm going to tell you, a Christian is in the good works. A Christian does bring forth good works. But it's not a deed, it's a fruit of the Spirit. For the real Christian, this is a work of the Holy Spirit. It's going to bring forth good deeds out of you. It's not you trying to be good. It's not you trying to be accepted by God. It's a work of the Holy Spirit. Now notice it said she was full of good works. In other words, her life, there was a fullness on the left and the right, every opportunity, every day, in every situation. She wanted to do good things for others. What about you? Do you desire that? Is the Holy Spirit so working in your heart that in every situation you want to do good to others? Is that what you desire? Well, she did. But it also said, and she was full of alms deeds, which she did. And this word alms deeds, it means compassionateness towards the poor. In other words, it doesn't say necessarily that she just gave them money. She may have, she probably did. But it doesn't just say that. Maybe she washed their sick bodies. Maybe she went and helped them. Maybe she baked bread for them. I don't know. But here she is, for those who were less well off than her, she actually done things to help them. Do you know what? Some people are so self-centered, they never think of others. But yet this lady, her heart was so large, her vision was so wide, that she was filled. This wasn't something she was trying to do to please God. This was flowing out of her heart. The Holy Spirit so had her heart that this flowed out of her like a river. She was filled with this. Do you know what it says in this story about Tabitha? That she grew sick and died. Do you know what? Good people die. Do you know that good people get sick? Do you know that? You could be a very good person. Now, I believe in healing. I believe in miracles. I believe it's God's will to heal. But never you think that a good person doesn't grow sick. Or if someone gets sick, that's a mark against them being good. Oh no. It's not. Here's Tabitha, a woman filled with good deeds and compassion in her heart towards the poor, yet she grew sick and died. Peter raised her up, healed her and raised her up. Then we have in chapter 11, 24, Barnabas. I believe Barnabas is one of the most large-hearted men in the New Testament. I believe Barnabas, like no person in the New Testament, embodies this fruit of the Spirit called goodness. And it says there in verse 24, for he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost. Notice the Holy Ghost is connected to being a good man. He was a good man because he was full of the Holy Ghost. He was a man of good deeds, or a man that had an open heart and an open hand and an open home, I'm sure, all the time. Here he was because he was full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. It takes faith to be good at times. It takes faith. In the previous verse, we read that he went to Antioch. He was sent there by the apostles when they heard people were believing in Christ. And notice this, it says he exhorted them, and that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. So here's a man, and if you read earlier in the book of Acts, he sold his possessions and gave it to the work of the church. Here's a man going about preaching the church. Do you know down in Jerusalem, they heard about the Gentiles getting saved. Up there in Antioch, people are getting saved. Here, who are we going to send? We'll send Barnabas. He's got a large heart. Do you know what? He's got such a large heart to people. His heart is open. He just wants to give and to give and to give. He's not a taker. He's a giver. That's what goodness is. And that's what Barnabas was. And do you know what? When nobody wanted to know Paul the Apostle, do you know for years Paul disappeared into Tarsus. He's born again. What a testimony. But do you know the church of Jerusalem didn't want to touch him? Didn't want to know anything about him. But do you know who did? Barnabas. Do you know Barnabas was the first to bring him to the church of Jerusalem and introduce him to the apostles? They were scared of him. Do you know what? They were all scared going,
Paul,
he killed Christians. But you know, there was a man there with a large, bountiful heart. Thank God. And you know, he said, Paul, you come with it. I'm taking you down there. The rest of them were scared. They wouldn't open the door to him. Paul knocking on the door. He's the murderer. Open, I'm saved. Aye, well, just in case. Keep the door bolted. You know, she used to be a thief. We best just keep the money locked away while she's here visiting. Do you know Christians? There's one Christian, you know her well enough, who got born again. Biggest thief I ever heard of. Stealing things, running out of stores. You know what I said to her? I said, I'd give you my wallet. I'd give you my checkbook. I'd trust you while you're born again. And now it changes the character. Someone who only took now gives. And certainly we know her. She's always given things. Not because she has to. There's just something in her where she was always a taker as a sinner. Now she's a giver. Hard to keep up with her. But it was the grace of God, and that's what Barnabas was like. He was such a large, warm-hearted man. And do you know what, Antioch? It was a mighty revival. He hasn't seen Paul for 7 years. Many thousands are coming in. Do you know what he thinks? He says, I'm going to go get Paul. I need help. See, he didn't keep all the ministry to himself. He wasn't saying, I don't want anyone else to get the glory here. Do you know what? He went, God, Paul says, we need you. You've got a ministry to teach Gentiles. You're going to come here. I remember you. 7 years he hadn't seen him. But he goes looking for him. Says, where was his last postal address? Well, I'm going to go find him. Bring him down here. This is the largeness. Oh, give us Barnabases again. Give us men and women. Give us Tabithas who are filled with goodness and good deeds and compassionate and who just want to bless those and help those in need. No wonder then it says in Acts chapter 10:38, how God anointed. That means he took the Holy Ghost and came upon him. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Notice it's the Holy Ghost again. Who went about doing good. Christ done good as a result of the Holy Spirit. And healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with them. Do you know Christ under the anointing of God? He wanted to do good. In healing the sick and setting free the oppressed. These were good works. This was the goodness of God flowing in him and through him. An active goodness is an active desire and an effort to do good to others around us. Goodness is kindness in action. It is deliberate deeds which are the result of the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. Goodness is beneficial works. If you never do anything, there's no goodness in you. Don't say, well, my heart is good, and yet you don't do anything for your mother. Your mother's going to like me if I preach on this, huh? We all know if goodness is in you, if you want to do good to your mother. It's practical Christianity. It's not just kept for preaching or laying hands on the sick. It is a practical way of life of being good. It's a beneficial work to others. When God's grace is at work in our hearts, we are inwardly moved to do good to people. Notice that. It's not just something outward you're trying to do. Or from your mental mind saying, well, I'm going to do that because of this, with hidden motives and agendas. Do you know what it is? It flows out of your heart. You're not thinking, well, they may not do something good back. I may not get something good out of this. No, it's given to those who can't give back. That's what goodness of heart and spirit is. Now, good deeds come out of a good heart. That's fundamental in this. You need to understand this. Good deeds come out of a good heart. It says in Matthew 7, and this is Jesus speaking in verse 17, even so every good tree, and it's speaking about people's lives, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Now notice what Christ is saying here. Where does good fruit come from? And we're dealing with fruit in this series, aren't we? It comes from a good tree. If the tree is bad, it'll be bad fruit. If the tree is good, it'll be good fruit. Do you know what he's saying? If the person is good, there'll be good fruit. There'll be a manifestation of things. There'll be an outward sight of fruit if they're good. But if they're not good, there'll be no fruit. That's how simple it was. What Jesus is actually saying is the good fruit or outward fruit comes from the inward nature. A bad tree produces bad fruit. A Christian who's a hypocrite will not produce good fruit. But a Christian who loves Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit dwells in them will bear good fruit. Again in Matthew 12, Jesus says in verse 35, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. Notice this. He says, a good man is marked by a good heart. Do you know what he does in his heart? He stores up, he treasures up good things. This is what a good man is, or a born again man, or a man who has the fruit of the Spirit. And he draws out of these good things in his heart. He draws good things to do for others. Jesus is saying that this is the mark of a good man. It's not just doing good things, it comes out of a good heart. It's not enough to do good things if your heart stinks. And is it possible to do good things and your heart stink? Yes. Amen. You can actually do good deeds. Mother Teresa done some good deeds. Was her heart good? No. Did she have a changed heart? No. Amen. She did not believe the gospel. But she went about doing good works. She thought by her good works, God maybe one day would accept her. She thought that all of her good deeds would somehow present her to God in some acceptable manner. But do you know what? That utterly contradicts the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's contrary to it. What about the parable of the sower? This is Christ again in Luke 18. And you'll remember, he deals with four different types of ground. The seed is the same, that's the word. The sower is the same, that's Christ. But the four different types of ground, the ground was different. That's why the fruit was different. Three types of ground, there was no fruit. Only one type of ground, there was fruit. And this is Jesus speaking. He says the seed is the same, the preaching is the same, the word of God is the same. The sower is the same. It can either be Christ or the preacher. But he said it's the ground that makes the difference. Why do some people bring forth fruit and some don't? It's the state of their heart. Notice what Jesus says here in Luke 8, verse 15. But that on the good ground are they. Now he's going to explain what the good ground is. Because he said the good ground brings forth 40-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold fruit from what it receives. In other words, whatever it receives, it does something with it. It doesn't just keep to itself. It does something with what it gets. What have you done with the grace of God in your life? All of your sins have been cancelled out. You received a message that's taken you out of sin into salvation. Now what are you going to do with what God gives you? This is the gospel. Now notice what Jesus says about the good ground. The good ground is an honest and a good heart. Having heard the word, you keep it and you bring forth fruit with patience. In other words, it's out of a good heart that fruit comes. When Jesus speaks of someone who is good, he's talking about someone who does good. He is not only good inwardly in his heart, it manifests goodness outwardly in good deeds or works. So somebody can't tell me their heart is good if there's no good works. Somebody can't say, well, I really have the fruit of goodness, but yet you never do anything. That's a denial of it. Fruit is an outward manifestation of an inward state and condition. Hear that. Good works and good deeds are not just something you do. It's actually a fruit. Goodness or good works are a fruit of the Spirit. It's a product of the Holy Spirit. In a Christian's life, us doing good things is not us trying to do good things. It is God working the heart. Now what's man's definition of goodness? Man's definition is doing what will make a person happy. Okay? If I can just make someone happy, I'll do something for them, it'll make them happy. That has to be goodness. No. That's not goodness. Or maybe doing what a person desires. They really want me to do this thing. I'll just do it for them. No, that isn't goodness. Or maybe it's doing things to fulfill religious obligations outwardly. Maybe that's the fruit of goodness. No, that's not it. Or what about giving what the person deserves? Justice. I'm going to give them what they deserve. That's not the fruit of the Spirit. That's not goodness. Because in goodness we give what they don't deserve. Isn't that right? Yes. If we were just, there'd be lots of things we wouldn't do for sinners. Amen. And you know what? We need to begin to learn in our Christian walk. We do not treat Christians the same as sinners. When a sinner does something wrong, and when a Christian does something wrong, they get treated differently. Yes. You see, when a Christian does what's wrong and they're in rebellion, or they're a gossip, or they're a backbiter, or they cause division, the Bible says avoid them. But the Bible nowhere says do that for a sinner. Right. Nowhere. So there's a different action towards sinners and saints when they do wrong. You know, the more a sinner does wrong, the more you've got to love them. And the more you've got to do good. Do good to them that hate you. Amen. Isn't that right? In other words, this fruit of goodness, it's going to be aimed at the person who hates you. The more they hate you, the more they despise you. Do good. You've got to do an action. You've got to do something for them. Not right, Margaret? Bake them a tray of buns and go round knock on their door. I tell you, that comes out of a heart to go, I want to conquer that. They hate me, I'm going to overcome it. I tell you, the person caused you the biggest problems, you just bake them a tray break. Forget about us, we'll manage. You go seek out the person who hates you. Bake them a whole tray and say, I'm giving to you in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. You get a victory. Mm-hmm. There is a victory in that. So what is the true definition? It is a fruit of the Spirit. It's not just doing something, it's a fruit of the Spirit. It comes from Him. It's inspired by Him. It's birthed by Him. These are good deeds that come out of the Holy Ghost in you. That's the source. Goodness is obedience to biblical commands. You see, the Bible says some things that people won't think are very good. Isn't that right? The Bible tells you how to act towards others. But some other people might say, that's not very good. Oh, but God tells me. You see, we think by giving someone what they want, that's goodness. Oh no, that could contradict what the Bible says. Goodness is also according to the character of God. Do you remember in the book of Acts that when Ananias and Sapphira lied, God struck them down? Was God still good then? Yes. Amen. Do you know what? He's being good to the church by removing the poison. That's the goodness of God. Faith without works will not save you, as we said about Mother Teresa. Listen to that again. Listen to me for this second. Faith without works will not save you. You could have all the faith, but if you don't have works, your faith is empty. It's a dead faith. If faith doesn't produce works, it's not real faith. Faith will always produce works. Faith without works will not get you to heaven. But works without saving faith will not save you either. It says in Matthew 19:16, and behold, one came and said unto Jesus, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? This was a rich young man. He had lots of money. He's a young man, he's very religious, and he's speaking to Christ and saying, what good thing? I want to do something to get to heaven. Master, just you tell me what I can do that I might get to heaven. Do you remember what Christ says? Christ says, well, keep all the commandments. He says, I've done that. From my childhood up, I haven't killed, I haven't stolen, I haven't lied. I've done all these good deeds. So surely he's going to go to heaven. This must be a manifestation of someone who's good on the inside. Because that's what many people in the church today tell us. They say, if you're good outwardly, you must be good inwardly. No, this man was good outwardly. He'd done many good things. He withheld himself from much sin, but he wasn't good. He was on his way to hell. But you see, Jesus has drawn him out. He says, what good thing? Tell me what to do. And that will mean I'm on my way to heaven. You don't understand the gospel, young man. And you know what Jesus says? Just one thing. Now go home. Just one simple thing. You're doing all those things. This will be none. Just this one thing. Go home. Sell everything that you have. Give it to the poor and come follow me. Oh, it's the one thing he didn't want to do. Do you know what Jesus knew? He knew what was in that heart. See, he was doing lots of good things thinking his heart was good. Now Christ just revealed your heart stinks. Your heart is rotten. You've got every motive, every agenda. You think more about that. It's the one thing you won't do, and Christ put his finger on it. Do you know what? Like Mother Teresa, you can do many good deeds, but your heart is not right with God. It's not pure, not acceptable to Christ. Good deeds don't get you to heaven. But notice what it says in James chapter 2 and verse 14. It says, what does it profit, my brethren? Though a man say he hath faith. Notice it says, he says he has faith. This is someone who's saying he's born again. This is a man saying he has it. See how the apostles are very careful in their writing. And he says, and have not works. What does it profit him? Here's a man saying, I have faith. I believe the gospel. I know the gospel. But there's no works. When you look at them, you do not see real, genuine goodness. And he says, what does it profit you? It's empty. And he goes on, can such faith save him? No. Such faith won't get you to heaven. It's empty. Bankrupt. It's mental assent. It's theologically correct, but it stinks because the heart is wrong. Then he goes further in verse 15. If a brother or sister be naked, notice it doesn't say a sinner. Do you know what? You're terribly wrong if you meet someone on the street begging for money. And you give them money and you smell drink off their breath. And they're going to go down the road and spend it in drink and spend it in drugs. You're not helping him. That isn't goodness. The way we're taught about. See, we think social programs is goodness. I'm a Christian. I'll help the drunkard. I'll give him a tenner. I'll help the drug addict. I'll give him a bit of money. You're destroying them. Do you know every alcoholic I speak to? I said, look, I'll take you into McDonald's and I'll buy you a burger. No, I don't want that. And he keeps begging down the road. Do you know why? He wants that money for his drink. But you know what I've done, and I've done it before. I've said, look, I'll take you and I'll give you a hot meal. And I sit there and tell him the gospel about Jesus Christ. I'll buy him whatever he wants. I'll buy him a hot drink. That is goodness. I'm doing him good. To give money isn't goodness. You're just helping them in their sin. It does no good. But notice here it says, if a brother or sister be naked. I don't need to help every sinner in the streets. But a brother and sister is different. If a brother and sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled. Notwithstanding, ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? In other words, you're a hypocrite. If there comes in someone to this church, they don't have a bed to lie on tonight. They don't have food in their cupboard. Don't have that, and we know it. We don't always know everything. But we know it. Say, God bless you, brother. God bless you. See you Sunday. Have a blessed few days. And we know they don't even have the basics of life. You know what? Your face hypocritical. Amen. There's no goodness in you. Amen. The fruit of the Spirit isn't there. We want to be real saints. We want real faith. We want real works. Works is not a dirty word. It is in today's church. Well, I'm just saved by faith. Well, prove it. Prove it. Doing good is not legalism. It is the fruit of the Spirit. We don't do good to be accepted by God. We do good as a result of already being accepted by God. Amen. Law demands goodness. It demands of you. But grace causes your heart to be moved deeply and produces goodness. Goodness is not just outward acts. It's an inward fruit. We're told in 1 Timothy 5 and 5, now she that is a widow, taught about widows, who is a widow indeed, all widows in the church are not widows indeed. So here Paul says, I want to explain to you the widows the church is to look after, because you're not to look after that young scallywag, widowess, who's just lost her husband. She's a gossip. She's a chancer. Don't you be looking after her. You, as a church, are not to look after. So do you want to know the widows to look after? This is them. I'll give you the qualifications. Notice, she's well reported of for good works. If she hath brought up children, now what are good works? He starts to say, she hath brought up children. If she hath lodged strangers, in other words, they're hospitable, they'll open the door to strangers. If she has washed the saints' feet, Nahula, you've neglected. If she hath relieved the afflicted, if she hath diligently followed every good work. So here's a true widow in the church. A true widow where we watched their life over years. Their husbands died. Do you know what? In their latter day, she washed the saints' feet. Her house was open to the saints. She looked after the afflicted. Do you know what? We, the church, are going to look after her in her latter days. We'll look after her needs. That is a part of the church's job if she doesn't have family. And even with that, Paul says, if they have family, let the family deal with them. But if not, we, the church, will look after them. We're not to be gullible. We're to be good. Mm-hmm. Being good is the fruit of the Spirit, and it doesn't lack wisdom. Some people with goodness, they throw away their brain. They throw away scripture, and they don't use any common sense. It says in Colossians 1:10, just give me a few minutes as we sum this up. Colossians 1:10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Now how are we going to do that? How are we going to be pleasing to God? How are we going to walk right? Being fruitful in every good work. Is that what you want?
Amen.
Being fruitful in every good work. And increasing in the knowledge of God. Notice the two things here. Being fruitful in good works and increasing in knowledge. Some people only increase in knowledge, but not in good works. They know a lot, they do nothing. But there's other people who do lots of things, but it's not according to knowledge. You can't separate knowledge from good works. The good works have to be in line with biblical knowledge. But the knowledge has to be balanced with good works, or you'll get yourself in a problem. It says in Romans 15:13 about the power of the Holy Ghost. He's talking about the power. Now we think of the power of the Holy Ghost, we think of healing the sick, are doing a miracle. But very often in the New Testament, when Paul talks about the power of the Spirit, it's to help us be Christ-like. Now look what he says here in verse 14. And I myself am also persuaded of you, my brethren, told the Christians, that ye also are full of goodness. Saints, are you filled with goodness? I'm asking you to search your own heart and life. Are you filled with good deeds? Or is it once in a blue moon? Because the Bible talks about being filled with good deeds. It does. You don't need to be filled with good deeds to be a Christian. But to be a good Christian, you need to be filled with good deeds. So it says here, my brethren, that ye also are full, because he's persuaded, they're full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. What is Paul saying here? He's saying, I'm absolutely convinced that you have the ability to admonish one another. And what this means is to put in mind or to caution or reprove gently. In other words, you're correcting each other. Do you know what you need in your life in order to correct each other? Do you know, to come alongside someone and say, do you know, Candace, I just need to point something out. There's something not right here, I need to say it. You need two things in order to do that. And Paul says these believers at Rome had it, to be full of goodness and to be filled with knowledge. And unless you have those two things, goodness in your life and knowledge, you can't correct somebody else. If your heart isn't large, desiring to do what's good, because if you don't have a good heart and you're not doing it in goodness, do you know what? You're just correcting them. You don't care about them. You can actually correct them. What you say is right. What you're doing is right. But it's not out of a good heart. You don't care about them. You don't care about the good of the church. All you're doing is trying to correct them or put them straight. There's no love in that. There's no reality. But also he says, you're filled with knowledge. In other words, you've got to have real knowledge to correct somebody else. You can't just correct them when it contradicts the Bible. It says in Ephesians 5:8, for ye were sometimes in darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. How are we going to walk? Verse 9, For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. That's a walk in the light. You always recognize the fruit of the Spirit outwardly in somebody's life. Do you know what it's marked by? First of all, goodness or good deeds. Don't tell me somebody is good or they have the fruit of goodness if there's no good deeds. Secondly, righteousness. In other words, the goodness flowing through them or the fruit flowing through them will never contradict what's right. Thirdly, truth. It takes all of these things to be the real fruit of the Spirit. Matthew 5:16, Jesus says, "Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works." What does it mean for your light to shine? When Jesus says, "Let your light as a Christian," oh yes, you have a light. The light is in you. You're saved, you know Christ. But what does he mean when "let your light shine"? It's your good deeds. In other words, letting the light shine of what has happened in you is doing that which is good. And why? Notice what Christ says. "And glorify your Father which is in heaven." Why do we do good deeds to sinners? So they will glorify our God in heaven. The fruit of goodness makes you a servant. Matthew 20:28 says, "The Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." Was that not the greatest good work ever done? Was that not the greatest goodness? Was that not the greatest manifestation of goodness our world has ever seen? Christ dying on the cross, God giving him. Notice what it says in Matthew 25:21. And it's speaking about the talents. You remember about the talents. One man is given one talent, another's given two, another five. And you know what? Christ expected whatever they were given, they were going to have to multiply. Do you know our Christ is a banker? Do you know he's a businessman? He never puts, if what he does for your life, you never do anything with it. You're a thief. You're a thief. You're a bad businessman. What he sows into your life, he's looking something back. Never think it's all receiving. You need to be a giver. In your time, in your finances, in your heart attitude, in your prayers, in your desires, in every realm, give of yourself in this church, of all that you are. Notice with these talents, that the man with one talent, do you know what happened to him? He never done anything with it. He just buried it and said, "No, Master, I knew you're a hard man. Why didn't you do something then?" And he buried it and said, "Here, I didn't lose it." But you never done anything with it. He took it off him, says, "I'm giving it to someone else." Be careful what you do with your talents and what God has given to you. But notice this man. It said unto the one who was good, in verse 21, his Lord said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord." That's what Christ is looking for. Will you be a good and a faithful servant on that day? When we stand before Jesus, will he look at you and say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have become a servant. You have served faithfully." Christ was a servant. We're to be a servant. Romans 12:11. It says, not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. That's one of the best definitions of the fruit of goodness. Notice as we close, 1 Timothy 5:10. We're told to diligently follow every good work. In chapter 6:18, we're told to be rich in good works. In 2 Timothy 2:21, we're told, be prepared unto every good work. 2 Timothy 3:17, to be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Titus 2:7, to be a pattern of good works. Verse 14, to be zealous or to burn for good works. Titus 3:1, be ready to every good work. Verse 8, maintain good works. Hebrews 10:24, provoke others to good works. Chapter 13:21, it says, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will. And finally, this is my third finally, okay? Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, our poem. I love that poem. Or his creation or his masterpiece. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Now notice that it's in Christ Jesus that you've been changed. Notice in Christ Jesus, you've been created a new creature unto good works. You could not do the good works that are accepted by God unless God had changed you in Christ. But he goes further, and this very vital as we close, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And this means to prepare, provide, or make ready prior to. In other words, what it's saying, all the good deeds that you're to do as a Christian, God has already prepared them. If you're in Christ, if you've been changed in Christ, God has prepared good works for you individually to do. Not me, you specifically. Each of us, God has prepared them already. Before you were saved, God had things he wanted you to do. When he saved you, he said, I'm going to use them for this. You look at church history and you look at the Christians who have changed our world. William Wilberforce, he banished slavery. He campaigned against it. He was a born again Christian. Goodness, our good works manifest through him. He worked in the nation to bring slavery to an end. He was a good man, Wilberforce. You know what? The fruit of the Spirit was in him. What about Lord Shaftesbury? He brought an end to child labour. He witnessed to them. He shared the gospel with them. He was a true born again man. And he spent all his political life bringing an end. He was a politician, not a preacher. He brought an end to child labour in the nation. What about Pandita? You heard about her the other night. Pandita Ramabai. All those orphanages, the young girls abused. You know, terrible life. But here's a lady filled with good works who cares for them. What about Florence Nightingale? I could go on down the list of great Christians that changed our nations physically. And you know what? The world out there said these were great men, good women. And you know what? Everybody glorified our God in heaven. Oh, saints, we're to be filled with good works. Don't think that we're free from good works. If the grace of God is working in us, you ought to say, oh, God, use me. What have you pre-planned for me to do? What is my life going to sum up to? Not just a spiritual life where I pray in a prayer meeting, or I sing hymns, or I come to meetings, or I tell someone the gospel. What difference is my life going to make in this world? Do you know, good deeds isn't just doing good things. Got a good friend, Christian evangelist turned up, and he's going to do her good deeds. And you know what? He went into her home, started rearranging all her cupboards. She didn't want them rearranged. He turned everything back to front, and she kept begging him, please don't do it. But he was so blind and ignorant. He wasn't helping her, but here he is trying to do something, and it's of no worth whatsoever. Not a man being sensitive to others or conscious to others. It's someone just trying to do something, trying to find something useful to do. It's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the goodness of the Spirit of God. It makes us useful. Let's stand together. Oh, I do. I tell you, saints, we can make a difference in this city. This city needs good people. This city needs those where the fruit of the Spirit is working. Are you there saying, Lord, use me. Use me to do something. Make my life count. I don't want my job to be wasteful. I don't want to be slothful. I don't want to be a waster. I don't want to waste my time. I don't want to waste my gifts. I don't want to waste my abilities. I want everything I am to be used to work for God's kingdom. Even my workplace, natural work can be used for God's glory. I was in the army 5 years. I tell you, they were paying me to be there. I'm there as a preacher of the gospel. I'm going to evangelize to everyone I can. I'm going to live my life in there. I'm there to be a witness for Christ. Oh yes, it was a natural job, but God has me there. Amen. What is it God requires of you and I? Hallelujah. Father, we're just asking for that work of your Holy Spirit. We want to be filled with goodness. Father, forgive us. Lord God, for the lack of those good works. My God, I pray for a stirring up of the Holy Spirit. Don't allow us to be lazy. Don't allow us to be stingy. Don't allow us to be narrow. Don't allow our hands to be closed, our hearts to be closed, our eyes to be closed. I'm praying that, like Barnabas, you give us a very large heart, an abundant heart, an overflowing heart. A heart that's looking to serve you. Lord God, a heart that's looking to serve sinners and saints. Now, like I pray, oh God, let your blessing come down. Make every one of us in this church active. My God, I pray every foot will be mobile. Every hand will be mobile. Lord God, I pray you'd use Margaret even as she makes food, Lord God. I pray each one of us should give us wisdom. You'd guide us even to know how to win sinners to you. Lord God, I pray will you use us for the glory of your name. My God, let everything that we be to your praise and to your glory. We just rejoice in you tonight. You are a good God. You've done so much good for us. Lord God, how can we be stingy and holding anything back? My God, we do want to return something unto you. We don't want to hide our talent, but oh God, we want to multiply. We want to grow. We want the fruit of the Spirit to grow where we can be a blessing and a praise unto you. Oh, glory be to you tonight. Oh, we exalt you. We glorify you. My God, my God.